Well, just to let you know, if you don't know this already, Jan and I will be gone for 2 weeks of vacation. So we won't be here next week or the following Sunday, but we have people already covering the pulpit for those 2 days. So be sure to come and support them those two Sundays. Never in a million years did I think I would be a pastor. But God called me to this mission, and I absolutely love every minute of it. I spend time nearly every day throughout the week preparing for Sunday's message. And then I spend time throughout the week praying for all of you who are part of our church. I take the time, when people will let me, visit in person. I make phone calls, I send text messages, I respond to people's Facebook posts, trying to keep a connection to all those that are part of our congregation. Collectively, I spend a lot of time thinking about all of you. Whether you've been here since I started over 8 years ago, or if you're just here for the first time, I will not forget. Yet the vast majority of my days and weeks are spent connecting to and caring for those outside the church, those outside of Christ. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of people that God has put on my path who are not on a path to God. I think about them. I pray for them. I talk to them if it's possible. And my primary purpose is not necessarily to get them into this church, but to get them into the kingdom. So I understand to a very small degree the story that Jesus is going to be telling us this morning in today's scripture in Matthew. And we're only covering three verses. Three verses. It's Matthew chapter 18, 12, 13, and 14. And we're going to start with verse 12, just the first part of verse 12. This is Jesus speaking. He says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Now, I'm not sure what would be considered a good flock of sheep. But to have 100 animals sounds like that would be a pretty successful shepherd. Jan and I only had one little lamb in our pasture, and we call him Ross. It was hard to keep track of just the one at times. One of us might ask, where is Ross? The other might reply, I thought he was with you. And then we would go off into the house trying to search for the little kid. So I want to say right now, I admire any parent that has two or more children to take care of. It's a lot of work to keep track of little ones. And in fact, it's a lot of work to keep track of the bigger ones too, especially once they get their license or go off to college. So imagine having 100 kids to look after. That would be impossible for parents. In fact, I think it would be impossible for anyone. So just for a couple examples, let me take daycare for example. Child care ratios are legally required in each state, and they vary depending on the age of the children. In Indiana, the child-to-adult ratio for a licensed child care center is as follows. Infants, one adult for every four infants. Toddlers and two-year-olds, one adult for every five children. Three-year-olds, one adult for every 10. Four-year-olds, one adult for every 12. And five-year-olds in kindergarten, one adult for every 15 children. Not just daycare. I was looking this up on the internet. Even our school systems have student-to-teacher ratios that they're expected to follow. I don't know what they do. Okay, Cheryl's already saying no. But here's what it says on the internet. If it's on the internet, it's true, right? I got this on a state website. For pre-K, it's 18 students per teacher. Again, this is the school system. Kindergarten is 25 students per class. grades 1 through 6, 32 students per class. Junior high and middle school, it's 30 to 33 students per class. And then high school is 34 students per class. Unless it's music or physical education, apparently they can have up to 50. That's the legal limits. So now let's get back to the shepherd. He has 100 sheep to watch over. Can you imagine how easy it might be for one of them to stray away? Besides looking out for the geographical hazards, hungry wolves, and even the flocks of other shepherds, this shepherd must do one thing a lot. Count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 97, 98, 99, 99, 99. Where is number 100? He was just here at the last head count an hour ago. Well, even though what we're reading today is a parable, which means it's a made-up story. Jesus makes up a story to make a spiritual point. Even though it's a parable, I still try to make it real in my imagination so I can better understand it. So I'm thinking, maybe, this is me, I'm thinking maybe the shepherd said things like this. Oh well, having a 99% retention rate sounds really good. I will just take care of these sheep and forget the little lost one. I mean, who can keep track of 100 sheep? Little Bo Peep couldn't keep track of her measly handful. So I'm doing pretty good to keep all but one of my 100 sheep safe and secure. Well, verse 12 goes on to tell us the rest of the story. Jesus continues with this, and it's about what the shepherd would do if one would stray. Jesus says, won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and then go out and search for the one that was lost? This parable does not go the way I thought it would. Instead of being satisfied that the vast majority of the flock was secured, the shepherd is focused on the one who has strayed. Somehow, some way, the shepherd puts the 99 sheep in a safe place. And while he is gone, they can eat green grass, fill their bellies, and fall asleep. But there's no time for the shepherd to eat or rest. He's on a mission to look for and to find that one that was lost. Now, we're not told how the sheep got lost. Jesus just says that he strayed. Apparently, he wasn't eaten by a predator. He didn't leave the group because others were making fun of his ugly wool coat. It seems that he just strayed. And maybe by accident, he separated from the flock and from the shepherd. Now, I understand this, and maybe you all understand this if you've heard enough sermons about sheep in the Bible, is that sheep are not very smart, apparently. And just as a reminder, Jesus compares us like sheep more than once. So keep that in mind. So it's possible that this animal did not even realize he was lost. Maybe he had picked up on the traits of the shepherd's dog and just wandered from the flock, and then all of a sudden, squirrel, squirrel. But we are told that this shepherd knew that the one was lost. And in verse 13, Jesus tells us what will happen if he finds it. Verse 13. And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it. This part doesn't make sense to me, but this is Jesus' words. He will rejoice over it more than the 99 that didn't wander away. I remember growing up and having a dog in the house. Once in a while, I would let the dog out to go potty, and she would run off. Believe it or not, there was a day that I could outrun a miniature dachshund. Today, I couldn't outrun a miniature marshmallow. But when I would finally catch up to our little dog named Heidi, I wanted to give her a good spanking and tell her what a bad girl she was for running away. But instead, I would give her big hugs, and she would give me lots of kisses on my chin, and we would walk back home, happy knowing that she was safe yet again. Jesus doesn't tell us in the parable what the reunion of the shepherd and the sheep was like. I'm just going to assume it was a great reunion. There was food, there was water, maybe even a little picking off of burrs. Well, now we get to verse 14. Here's our last verse. This is where the parable transitions from sheep to people, and where the shepherd is actually God. Now we go from the made-up story to the spiritual point that Jesus is making. It was applicable to the people he was speaking to then, and it's applicable to us who are hearing it this morning. Jesus says this in verse 14. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. Not one of these little ones should perish. Let me just say this. I love each and every one of you. I love you. And I appreciate that you're here in person. At the same time, I have a confession to make. Those that are part of our congregation that are not here today are foremost in my thoughts. I was telling Jan about this the other day, not long ago, and I said, I didn't know why I do this, but when I look at the congregation on Sunday mornings, I tend to see the ones who are not here. Maybe I'm feeling like that grandma who wants to have all her kids and grandkids around the table at the holidays. And she's appreciative of everyone who came, but at the same time, she notices the one who couldn't be there. Or maybe the Heavenly Father is giving us a tiny glimpse of what it's like when he sees the world. Of course, the Father loves everyone that's in his flock. He cares for each one. He provides for each one. He protects each one. And he will fight the enemy to save each one. Yet at the same time, he sees those who are outside the flock. God the Father sees those who are outside the flock. Someone hearing this message has strayed. And when I say someone hearing this message, it may be somebody here today, and I'm assuming everyone has already accepted Christ as their Savior, but I don't know that for sure. Someone hearing this message may have strayed. I don't know if you remember, we record the message from here, and it goes on to a website every week. So maybe someone that's going to hear that from the website or from the Facebook post that has already been recorded is going to hear this, and they have strayed. And they may have strayed, you may have strayed, for any number of reasons. And I want to say this as I close. Not a very long message today. Three verses. Big point. If you are outside of God's flock, you need to know that the Heavenly Father is looking for you. You need to know that Jesus, who Scripture calls the Good Shepherd, is looking for you. Bottom line is the Father and the Son do not want you to perish. Jesus said it himself this way, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And whoever does what? Whoever believes in him will what? Never perish, but have everlasting life. So I believe the Holy Spirit is calling out to someone right now at this very minute. calling out for them to be found. And the question I'm going to end with is this. Can you hear the Savior calling? The Bible says that God knows us even before we're born. He knows the names of every star. So do you think he knows our name? I believe so. And I believe just like the shepherd may have named all 100 sheep that God himself is calling out. Bob. Bob.
Abby.
And if I hear his name, my name being called in the distance, I'm looking for him and I want to get back to the flock. And that's where he wants me to. Let me end with this prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for those ears that have heard this message. It wasn't long, but it was impactful because it's in your word. So, Lord, whether someone responded today, this very minute, who knows that they're lost and needs to be found, hallelujah, if they're accepting you even right now, or maybe it's going to be on the right back to their home, or sometime during this week, they'll remember this story and recognize whether or not they're lost. Father, thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for those that are not here that can hear this message another way. And Father, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now go. Ryder, you go as well. And be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. There's your crayon.
You get it. You get it.
Yay.
Yay.
All done?
All done.
All done. You're going to flat?
Have an enjoyable